Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to KCBS In-Depth.
We came very close to a catastrophic breakdown of our democratic accountability.
The people, places, and issues the Bay Area is talking about.
Right now, we're kind of stuck in this cycle where every summer we're hearing another story about a big fire and a town burning down.
It's still extremely difficult to hold government agencies accountable for abuses that take place in the name of national security.
This is KCBS In-Depth.
When the pandemic began, ridership across the Bay Area's public transit system plummeted as offices shuttered and downtown life came to a screeching halt. More than 2 years later, riders have been slow to return, and now many local agencies are facing an approaching fiscal cliff. So, running out of funds and time, how can Bay Area Transit win riders back? Welcome to KCBS In-Depth, broadcasting throughout the Bay Area and streaming on the Odyssey app. I'm Keith Manconi. Today on the program, with many office workers now back to their daily commuter grinds and downtown life picking back up little by little, we're going to check in with two Bay Area transit leaders to get a sense of how the region's public transit system is emerging from those lean pandemic years. We'll talk about what it's taken to keep that system running and how it's going to need to adapt as we enter into this strange new post-lockdown world. For that perspective, going to welcome on now first Jeffrey Tumlin, Director of Transportation for the San Francisco Municipal Transportation Agency, or SFMTA. Jeffrey Tumlin, welcome to you.
Thanks for having me, Keith.
Also welcoming on Therese McMillan, the Executive Director of the Metropolitan Transportation Commission, or MTC. Got a bit of an alphabet soup going on today. That is the planning agency for Bay Area Transit. Therese McMillan, welcome to you as well.
Thank you very much, Keith.
So the SFMTA has recently released some big picture plans for what it wants service to look like in the years to come. But starting off, or we'll get to that a little bit later, but starting off, hoping to first hear from you, Therese McMillan, give us the big picture view, if you could. Obviously, we know for a long time as a result of the pandemic, lots of people were staying off BART. They were staying off buses. How much of a hit did public transit ridership take over that time? And where are we at now?
You know, we had, among our 27 transit operators, I would say clearly a significant hit at the beginning of the pandemic. When our economy went into shutdown, it affected folks across the board. What's been interesting looking back over the 2 years is that pattern of recovery has varied. The pandemic had decreased transit ridership significantly, but especially for our systems that were relying on commutes into city centers, and most particularly San Francisco. I'm sure that, you know, Jeff can speak to that as well. What we've seen, interestingly, though, we were also very cognizant of the folks that kept riding, our transit-dependent customers, who you know, the essential workers, the folks that didn't have a car, the folks who couldn't work remotely. And those tended to be much more concentrated on our bus systems. So when we look back 2 years, there's sort of some different pictures. I would say transit ridership has not recovered to pre-2019 levels at all across the board. That's just not happened. But we've seen a more robust comeback for our bus systems, where, again, essential workers and transit-dependent customers, you know, came back to those systems that had been serving them well from the beginning. And at one point, AC Transit, for example, was carrying more riders than BART in the middle of the pandemic. Our commute-based systems, such as BART, are coming back. Just to take a look, you know, on the last Wednesday of April, BART's ridership topped 150,000 for the first time since the pandemic. And that's about 7 times more passengers than the same Wednesday in April of 2020. So that's a big deal. But they're still 40% under, it's still less than 40% of the riders they were carrying before the pandemic hit. So we're seeing some moves, but it's pretty mixed and pretty slow for some folks.
And that divergence that you're talking about there, does that reflect simply the fact that the white-collar workers, the office workers, have not come back all the way, but the folks that do need to work in person, who I suppose disproportionately are riding the bus system, they never left?
Pretty much. And either they never left or they, you know, reached as the economy was coming back. A number of those folks, if they weren't in the office-driven environments of the central city, in industries where remote work took hold, quite frankly, and is very much impacting the landscape of what, central business districts, such as San Francisco are seeing. And I'm sure, again, that Jeff can speak to the San Francisco experience in that case and how fundamentally that's changed the pattern of his work. We're still unpacking what this pandemic is doing. And I don't think we're going to see a clear picture for some months.
Yeah. So as you're talking about right there, it certainly has been a disorienting time on a lot of fronts, including the transportation front, and still getting our bearings in a lot of different way. But let's do bring in Jeffrey Tumlin to the conversation now, again, directing the SFMTA in San Francisco. So what does all these disruptions look like from your vantage point? You've been tweeting about this a little bit recently, pointing to an increase in ridership still well below where we were before the pandemic began. But weekend ridership seems to be going back a little bit faster than weekday ridership. What are some of the trends that are catching your eye?
So COVID revealed the geography of essential workers in San Francisco. What we're finding is a very different set of travel patterns in the COVID era than we had back in 2019. So for example, our total system-wide ridership is only at 54% of weekday ridership return, but we're at 67% of pre-pandemic ridership on the weekends. And it gets even more interesting when you look at individual lines. So the 22 Fillmore, which is a circumferential line, it goes through a bunch of neighborhoods, hits a couple of hospitals. It is at 133% of pre-COVID ridership on weekends and at 100% of pre-COVID ridership on weekdays. It has been a star performer along with our other high-frequency neighborhood lines like the 14 Mission, the 8, and the 9. The riders that we are missing are commute riders to downtown offices. And that was a big chunk of our ridership pre-COVID, but almost all of our other ridership has come back. And in many cases, like the 22, it's already exceeding pre-COVID ridership. We're also finding that our riders are drawn to lines that are fast, frequent, and reliable. During COVID, we invested in over 20 miles of new transit-only lanes and transit priority treatments. Many of our routes are running faster, more frequent, and more reliably than they did pre-COVID, and that is getting us a big bump in ridership. So we're continuing to look at the data as we hire new operators and we're delivering service where it is most needed according to this month's travel patterns.
Yeah. Well, and that also opens the topic of the service reductions that took place over the course of the pandemic. Of course, that's something that happened throughout the Bay Area's public transit system, whether it was fewer buses showing up along a certain route, or whether it was the route itself maybe shortening or discontinuing for a time. Talk a little bit, if you could, about how service restoration is going. I know that the Chronicle reported back in February that some plans to restore service had to be put on hold because Muni just didn't have enough operators to bring everything back as quickly as it would have liked to. And bring us up to date. What does that picture look like in terms of service restoration?
Yeah, so we're still in the worst financial crisis of our agency's 110-year history. COVID knocked out two of our most important funding sources, transit fares and parking fees and fines. And we knew early on that the financial impact was going to be big and it was going to be long lasting. So we had nearly 2 years of a nearly complete hiring freeze. And as a result of that, we have 1,000 vacancies in the organization. We're down about 20% across all teams. And it was only back in March that the federal government announced an additional $115 million of recovery funds, which is the amount of money that we need in order to start up hiring again and restore service over the next 2 years. But after that money runs out in 2025, we're going to need a new ongoing operating funding revenue source in order to be able to sustain our recovery. So right now we're hiring as aggressively as we possibly can. We've got 1,000 jobs to fill. We would love for all of your listeners to come work for the SFMTA. Just Google SFMTA jobs and keep track because we're having new postings every single week, including aggressively hiring transit operators. And we graduate a new operator class about every 6 weeks, and about every 3 months for the next really 2 years, we're going to be doing another round of service restoration, trying to both fully recover, but also adapt to changing ridership patterns. So in terms of service recovery, we're at about 80% of pre-COVID service hours, but we're continuing to need to provide really strong frequency on our main essential worker lines in order to reduce overcrowding. So we've worked really hard to try to make sure that everyone in San Francisco has reasonable access to transit. And we have prioritized the neighborhoods with the greatest concentration of essential workers and people who have the most limited mobility.
Yeah, so certainly a lot of progress being made, but just to flag once again what you said at the top of that answer, the worst financial crisis in your agency's history. And it is a long history that includes the Great Depression. So certainly transit agencies are up against a lot. Speaking once again, by the way, to Jeff Tumlin, Director of Transportation for the SFMTA. Also speaking with Therese McMillan, Executive Director of the MTC. This is KCBS. Sticking with the topic of the financial crisis facing these public transit agencies, Therese McMillan, I suppose the lone standout would be VTA in the South Bay. They have a bit sturdier of a tax base to fall back on, so in a little bit better of a situation. But due to the drop in revenues that we've been talking about, other agencies throughout the Bay Area really in dire circumstances.
Yeah, and you hit on certainly the core factors that impact how close, you know, to the fiscal cliff our transit agencies are. Now, their operating budgets are sustained with very different revenue sources. So as Jeff said, in San Francisco's case, you know, sales tax play a significant difference, but they also rely on parking fees and a number of other fares and the like that are much more demand sensitive. So, you know, that brings a level of unpredictability to what you see ahead. VTA, on the other hand, in the South Bay, as you said, is an extremely strong sales tax base that has come back very robustly. That's the majority of what underwrites their operating budget. So while all of our transit operators are probably seeing the fiscal cliff between 2025 and 2028, it's a much sharper drop for a number of transit operators. And again, our fare dependent operators, BART, SF Muni, Caltrain, WETA, which is the regional ferry system, they have avoided the fiscal cliff in huge measure because of the really unprecedented levels of assistance coming from the federal government. We just cannot underscore that enough. But we are having to work with our operators now to say, well, what does that next future look like? But I think now, you know, our operators themselves are having to look to what do we do in a longer term? What does maybe a much more persistent remote work pattern do to the levels of ridership that we used to see? You know, again, many of our operators are seeing the same thing that, you know, Jeff said, lots more travel on the weekend compared to what, you know, the peaks, what we call the peaks in the morning and the afternoon, that concentrated travel. In many cases, those are beginning to spread out more because we don't have as rigid a, you must show up, you know, at 7:30 in the office. So having to look at both things, not only where we get more revenue, but also how we're going to manage our transit systems going forward in this new normal, which is still not completely pinned down. And what does that say in terms of just operating budgets generally?
Yeah. Well, I think Therese raised some good questions there, so I'll just put them to you, Jeff Tumlin. What does it mean for SFMTA, for Muni, if we have workers following this very different pattern? Is this something that can be adapted to? How do you adapt to that?
Well, we've already adapted. We've had to rebuild the Muni system 7 times over the last 2 years. That's something we typically only do about once every 15 years. And we're responding to a very different set of patterns. One of those key patterns is that, you know, pre-COVID, we used to have extremely high ridership, 7 to 9 a.m. and from 5 to 6 p.m. Right now, our ridership is completely flat across the day. So our ridership at noon is the same as our ridership at 9 a.m., which is the same as our ridership at 5 p.m. And this is interesting for us because it actually allows our service delivery to be a lot more efficient. I can have operator shifts that make more sense. I can provide basically the same level of service all day long, which is a lot easier to manage and more cost-effective for us as an agency. It's also allowed us to focus on reliability. So one of the things that we did during COVID is we eliminated schedules on all of our main lines because of the lack of predictability of how many operators would be ready to show up to work and not in quarantine. So we've replaced that with what we call headway management, where we ask the operators to just space themselves out evenly, which allows us to adapt to changing circumstances, whether that's increase in ridership or another, you know, Omicron wave, we can deliver far better service than we would otherwise be able to do using our 2019 service model.
We've been talking mostly so far about adaptation, moving things around, adjusting, but, you know, given the fiscal realities that SFMTA and other agencies are facing, does there come a point where we need to start considering things like raising fares or things like cutting service?
Well, we're very much focused on figuring out what is a sustainable revenue model moving forward. We are subsisting right now on one-time federal money. That money runs out in 2025. So we're going to need a new revenue source. But we also want to make sure that we facilitate the economic recovery of San Francisco and we don't place high cost burdens on our essential workers who are also suffering economically as a result of COVID. So our current budget does not include any fare increases over the next 2 years. And it also retains free muni for youth, free muni for seniors, and free muni for people with disabilities. We think this is an important part of rebuilding trust with San Franciscans and helping to support the city's larger recovery.
Yeah, so clearly that federal funding, federal support, making a pretty big difference at this moment, helping to answer some of those really difficult questions in the short term, that is, because, of course, this level of funding is not going to last forever. And so, Therese McMillan, again with the MTC, let's talk a little bit about some of the options on the table for how to address those longer-term fiscal cliffs that we're facing. And one of the big things that has been discussed recently is introducing a ballot measure in perhaps 2024 that would raise new taxes for transit to support public transit, maybe a new sales tax measure or something of that variety. But also worth pointing out that so far it is not polling particularly well. So what can you tell us about what voters should be expecting in terms of new taxes, new ballot measures?
Very, very careful and thoughtful considerations on a whole number of fronts. We'll start with that. You know, Keith, you hit on, I think, a really important point. And maybe I would characterize it this way. The one thing you want to do if you're going to put out a regional measure of any import is you want to win. Polling is critical to testing the appetite of the electorate and what is in the realm of possibility in terms of thinking through what they're willing to bear and what the economy is also willing to sustain. I mean, right now, you know, everyone, I think, is keeping a very nervous eye on what is the economy going to look like. Maybe not this year so much, but in our budget discussions next year, is a recession in the outcome or not? That all, you know, gets into the equation of what you would consider before moving forward with something like a regional revenue measure. You mentioned, you know, taxes. What type of tax? There was a lot of discussion back right before the pandemic when we were considering a regional measure at the time about, should it be a sales tax? There were a number of stakeholders and interest groups that said that's very regressive. That has an equity impact on folks. That's very different than a different type of tax. And so there's a lot of questions that would need to be, vetted among policymakers, among elected officials, and most importantly, among the people that would show up at the ballot box. And so not a clear view, but certainly, as Jeff pointed out, what new revenue streams may be available, whether they're federal, state, regional, local, it's all in the mix.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This, once again, is KCBS In Depth. I'm Keith Menconi. Today on the program, well, the pandemic hit Bay Area public transit like a freight train. Now that offices are opening back up, we're checking in on how the system is recovering. Speaking with Jeff Tumlin, Director of Transportation for the SFMTA, just heard a second ago from Therese McMillan, Executive Director of the MTC, that's the Metropolitan Transportation Commission. Want to talk about the challenge of safety, and this is something that the New York Times wrote about recently, pointing to the fact that while it's true over the past 2 years, the absolute number of crimes on public transit, not specifically talking about Bay Area, but talking across the country, the absolute number of crimes seem to have gone down on public transit. When we're talking about the crime rate, it's actually gone up because there's been so many fewer people on the system that people are more likely to confront or be exposed to some type of crime. And that's really made it, for some people, a more daunting task to, you know, go back onto public transit. People not always feeling safe returning, and obviously that makes the pitch to return to public transit a little bit more difficult. Jeff Tumlin, giving you the first word on this, I know that this is something that SFMTA has been focusing on. What does the work like look there?
So on Muni, crime remains near historic lows, a small fraction of what they were back in, say, 2013. And on a per 100,000 mile basis, crime on Muni has been fairly flat. But our ridership is down. And we hear from communities all over San Francisco about their personal security concerns on Muni. And we take that very seriously. So we have been investing in hiring new transit ambassadors. And these are folks who grew up in San Francisco, who grew up in our neighborhoods, and who we train in de-escalation and other conflict reduction techniques, who ride our buses and help people be chill and to help avoid conflict before it actually happens. And they're fantastic. They're beloved in the communities that they serve. And they ride our buses where we hear the most concerns about safety and security. So we're in the process of hiring 20 more of those. Our new budget includes 22 more, and we will be hiring those quickly. We're also investing a pretty significant amount of money in what we call our Gender Safety Equity Initiative. This is modeled after BART's successful program of helping to make sure that women and girls feel safe riding Muni, and particularly our Asian and Pacific Islander riders. And this includes a whole lot of techniques, including a lot of investment in bystander training. So if you're riding a minibus and you see something going down, what should you do? How can you react in order to safely de-escalate that situation and help take care that it doesn't happen again? We're also investing in better use of our camera technology. We have outstanding cameras on all of our Muni vehicles. And if people report a crime on Muni, within 10 days of that crime happening, we can download all of that video. And it is of such high quality that we are able to get a very high conviction rate and can help identify perpetrators in collaboration with the San Francisco Police Department. So if you are, if you suffer from a crime on Muni, please do report it. We need that data and we can help find those perpetrators and make sure that they don't do that again. And in addition, we're continuing to invest in our safety and security team throughout the agency. We've taken all of our transit fare inspectors and all of our transit operators through de-escalation training and other trainings in order to support greater safety and security on the buses and on our trains. So we know we still have work to do in this area, but the data is clear that our investments are making a difference.
Yeah. All right. Well, we only have a couple of minutes left, and I want to give closing thoughts to both of you. And I guess the way that I want to get you both started is, taking everything that you've said into account. So if we have a couple of years to figure out this fiscal situation as we're heading towards a real cliff, real financial challenges, but at the same time, we're trying to get riders back onto the system. How do we do that? Given the fact that you find a Bay Area resident and you can find a complaint about transit, there is as numerous as the sky is wide. And so there's definitely a lot of different ways that transit could be improved in the Bay Area. But if we also are dealing with a constrained fiscal situation, that makes making those improvements that would win those riders back makes it all the more challenging. So it seems like a bit of a conundrum. Starting with you, Therese McMillan, help us get started on unwinding that conundrum just a little bit, if you could.
Well, I'm glad we're ending with this because I think there's some very hopeful, efforts that have been happening in the Bay Area among our 27 different transit operators. You know, there's some sun, not just shadow, involved in this story. At the very beginning of the pandemic, the MTC called together again at this Blue Ribbon Task Force. But one of the things, in addition to dealing with the immediate fiscal crises, was acknowledging that collectively we needed to come back different and come back better, not just the same of what transit looked like in 2019. There were issues of declining ridership well before COVID. And what we found, it had to do with, in some cases, a lack of connectivity between our different services. It was transit not going to the right places for folks that needed to get there, particularly for our transit dependent riders. A sense of, and particularly I think, with COVID, we're having to think through who are we serving, what are their needs, and how do you devise the system to meet those different needs? The proverbial one size doesn't fit all. We talked a lot about our urban systems, but many of our rural systems, more rural suburban systems, have the opportunity to do some extraordinary things, like what we call more demand responsive type services, which, folks can call up and say, I need a bus between, to get from A to B at this particular time, a more flexible way of addressing some trips, as opposed to a fixed route that comes, every 30 minutes. So we're taking the opportunity now, I think, to listen to our customers first and foremost. What is it that they need? And why is transit a critical part of their lives? And we've worked regionally again with our operators to come up with what we call this transformative action plan to begin to unpack the very complicated factors that go into coming back different, coming back better, And doing all of that within a fiscally constrained environment, which is a huge challenge, but if any region I think is up to the task, hopefully it is us.
Yeah. And closing thoughts to you as well, Jeffrey Tumlin. I know that you've already talked a lot about some of the big changes coming to the system, but also know that there's more afoot as well. What else would you want to keep in our mind?
So at Muni, we know that there are four things that we need to do in order to get our riders back. The first and most important is to make transit fast, frequent, and reliable. And that's why we've spent so much effort during the pandemic investing in transit-only lanes all over San Francisco, and we're continuing to invest in more. The second thing that we already talked about is making sure that transit is safe and secure for our riders. That is a big part of our budget in the coming 2 years. And the third is making sure that transit is clean and healthy. And that's why our new budget also includes continued investment in extra cleaning for our vehicles, as well as continuing to follow whatever the current health protocols are from the San Francisco Department of Public Health. And then finally, we need to make sure that transit fares are affordable to people who need transit the most. And that's why we're continuing to invest in free Muni for youth and seniors and people with disabilities. In order to do all of this, obviously, we need resources. In June, on the San Francisco ballot, there is a general obligation bond. This renews our previous bond that allows us to continue to invest in high-quality transit, address our deferred maintenance, and improve the safety of our roadways. We're also going to be looking really hard for new sources of operating funds in order to be able to sustain all of these investments over time.
So, fair to say that public transit does cost money to make it work, and you're going to be needing to make a pretty solid case to the voters over the next couple of years to really meet some of these targets that you're setting.
That's right. And part of our case is that San Francisco's economic recovery is completely dependent upon transit. Those big office buildings in downtown San Francisco can't be filled by people driving cars. We don't have room on our streets or parking garages downtown in order to accommodate everyone driving into the city. So in order for San Francisco's overall economy to recover, and in order to allow people to continue to be able to drive who need to drive, we need to make sure that all the rest of us can take transit or walk or bike if that works for us.
Yeah. Well, I know that I probably end too many shows saying this, but I think it probably applies more to this one than any. A lot of difficult decisions ahead and a lot more to be learned about all these tricky topics that we've been talking about here. Definitely, we'll be talking more about these funding issues and how we can square some of these circles. So a topic that we'll be returning to, no doubt. Speaking today, once again, to Jeffrey Tumlin. One last time, he's the Director of Transportation for the San Francisco Municipal Transportation Agency. Jeffrey Tumlin, thanks so much.
Thank you, Keith. Happy to come back anytime.
And spoke to as well Therese McMillan, the Executive Director of the Metropolitan Transportation Commission. Therese McMillan, thanks to you as well.
Thank you for the opportunity to share our thoughts.
And thank you all for listening. For KCBS and In Depth, I'm Keith Menconi. Stay safe, be well. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to KCBS In Depth. Get every episode by subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other podcast platforms. Visit kcbsradio.com for more news and interviews. We are the Bay Area's news station, KCBS.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.